You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On October 21st, the Conservative government introduced a new refugee reform bill to Parliament. Bill C-49 would give new powers to the federal government to crack down on asylum seekers who arrive in Canada by aid of human smugglers. Rick Goldman is on the executive of the Canadian Council for Refugees, and Peter Driftmeyer from the Red Eye Collective reached Rick by phone in Montreal. Peter began by asking him what the Conservative government says the bill is supposed to accomplish.
The government's pretext for this legislation is that of cracking down on exploitative human smugglers, and I think most people would agree with such measures. For example, according to allegations, some of the Tamil migrants who arrived on the last two boats were charged up to $50,000 for their passage on a rickety boat. But unfortunately, the government has used the cover of this anti-smuggling rhetoric to introduce a number of really draconian anti-refugee measures, things which we really have never seen in Canadian refugee law. So, for example, one of the measures calls for mandatory detention of refugee claimants who were assisted in getting to Canada by human smugglers, mandatory detention of up to 12 months, inability to bring family members over for a period of 5 years, inability to get permanent residence for 5 years, a reduction in the already very slim medical care that's available for refugee claimants. And although the government is acting with the backdrop of these huge arrivals of, 490 on one boat and 100 or whatever on another, actually the law is so broadly worded that it could be used against virtually all refugee claimants, since it could be used against anybody who arrived with the assistance of a smuggler and arrived in a group. Group is not defined, so two refugees or more could constitute a group. And so since almost every refugee to get to Canada needs in some way the help of a smuggler to get a passport, a fake passport, a fake Canadian visa, and so on, it's pretty much a field day for the minister. He can decide to pick and choose which refugees will have, regular rights and which will be under this draconian regime.
In defining those who come via smugglers and those who don't, what ratio of refugees are able to go through that official process?
Well, of the people who arrive in Canada, I don't think there's a figure on it, but of the people who arrive in Canada and ask for refugee status, those of us who are working every day with refugee claimants, I think we would say the vast majority have had to have the assistance in some way of somebody who would fall under the definition of a smuggler. There's a bit of background that's necessary to understand this. Refugee claimants who are fleeing virtually any country in the world that produces refugees, it's almost impossible to get here through legal channels. First of all, genuine refugees who are fleeing their government often cannot get a passport even from their own government. If they are lucky enough to get a passport, then they would need a Canadian visa, that is a visa to come as a tourist or a student or whatever, in order to get on a plane legally and come here without the assistance of any smuggler. This is almost impossible. Canada has imposed a visa requirement on virtually every country that produces refugees. Most recently, as many people will know, last summer, the Canadian government imposed a visa requirement on people from Mexico because a lot of people were fleeing Mexico due to different situations of violence and danger there, as well as people from the Czech Republic because a number of Roma were coming and claiming that they were the victims of persecution, with a very high success rate, actually, in terms of acceptance as refugees. So Canada has imposed this visa requirement on virtually every country that might produce a refugee. And as a result, The vast majority of refugees need to have recourse to some kind of assistance to actually, you know, get some kind of documents, in other words, false documents, that could get them on a plane and allow them to come to Canada and ask for refugee status.
And now you said that that a real diversity of people who aid refugees in the process could be defined as human smugglers. What is the definition in this legislation exactly?
Well, this legislation doesn't create a new definition of smuggler. That's already in the law. It just creates new penalties, both for the smugglers. Well, slightly more severe penalties for the smugglers, because the penalties are already pretty severe. It's already up to life imprisonment and $1 million fine. But so what mainly changes is there would be mandatory minimum sentences. So, you know, I mean, most people who are assisting refugees don't really have any problem with sentences for exploitative human smugglers, but so there's no known change in the definition, just harsher penalties. However, there's no change in the definition, but the definition in the law is that was already in the law is pretty broad. So we have the kind of very exploitative human smugglers, but the definition is so broad that it could catch people who are really acting under completely humanitarian and objective motives. For example, there was a church worker, an American church worker, about 2 years ago, in a fairly well-publicized case, Janet Hinshaw Thomas, who brought in a minivan or a van, six or ten Haitian claimants to the border, to the Canadian border, to ask for refugee status. Actually, a totally legal process, except for transporting them. I mean, the Haitians were able to ask for refugee status and have their claims considered in a totally orderly and legal manner, but she was charged with human smuggling for bringing them to the border. And it created quite a bit of anxiety and anger and even hysteria in the refugee support community, and finally the government dropped the charges. But it gives you an idea that the definition of human smuggling, which again was not broadened by this new legislation, it was already there, it could catch people who are even acting under purely humanitarian motives, which means that the people who were assisted by these people, like this American church worker, under this new legislation, could actually be caught by this new legislation and be subject to the draconian measures that I mentioned, like mandatory detention and not being able to bring family members for 5 years and so on.
It really seems like there's less and less options for people fleeing persecution to come within the frameworks of the law.
I think that's exactly what the government has in mind. Although we are signatories of the Geneva Convention on Refugees, which says that if people actually get to Canada and are able to ask, you know, and ask for our protection, then if we examine their case and we see that they need protection, they will get it and they will have certain minimum rights. Although we are signatories of that, the flip side of the coin is that the government has been discouraging and now, you know, really punishing refugees who actually have the audacity to show up and say, we take this this promise seriously. We're here. We're asking for your protection. So it's sort of like the government is saying, we're welcoming you with open arms, but don't dare show up on our doorstep to actually take us up on that.
And this is in violation of the Geneva Convention.
Well, the Geneva Convention on Refugees says that refugees should not be penalized for using illegal documents to come to a country and ask for refugee status, because it recognizes that that is the only way that refugees can travel very often. So as long as they are refugees, they come here, their case is examined, and the government decides that they are refugees, then they should not be penalized for that under the Geneva Convention. So, yes, we believe that the government is actually violating that when it is, in a sense, criminalizing refugee claimants just because of the way they got here. That does seem to be very much against the protections of the Geneva Convention on Refugees.
And how about Canadian law or the Canadian Charter? Does this legislation, Bill C-49, fit within our own rights and freedoms?
Well, we don't think so for a variety of reasons. One is our Canadian Charter does have a an anti-discrimination clause, Section 15 of the Charter, so we don't think that it is legitimate, and we think it is contrary to the Charter to say there's now going to be two classes of refugee claimants, those who have the rights that, you know, that refugee claimants have had until now, and now this new category who, just because of the way they arrived, nothing to do with their case or whether they're really refugees or not, just because of the way they arrived, are going to suffer a number of very, very harsh measures. Now, detention for 1 year, actually just taking the detention, that is against the Charter, because the Supreme Court has held that indefinite or long-term detention without oversight, without independent review, is against our Charter. So just that, even if we don't, you know, talk about two categories of refugee claimants, seems to violate our Charter in the same way that you know, a law that said that, for example, anybody who's suspected of a certain type of crime could be, in Canada, could be held for a year without any type of review. I mean, that would be obviously contrary to the Charter, because it's arbitrary detention. So that part seems very flagrantly against the Charter. And more generally, creating two categories of refugee claimants based not at all on the merits of their claim or whether they need Canada's protection, but simply how they got here, does seem to be against the discrimination provisions of the Charter.
I wanted to end by asking you how people are fighting this legislation and perhaps how you would recommend people go about pushing the government.
Well, at this point, the legislation is at second reading. It seems like the opposition parties may be willing to defeat it at second reading in the House of Commons. The vote should be coming up within the next 1 to 3 weeks. So now is a time for people who are concerned about refugee rights to make their voices heard. On the website of the Canadian Council for Refugees, you just have to Google those three or four words, Canadian Council for Refugees, and you'll go right to the website. There's a number of resources. There's model letters, for example, for writing to your Member of Parliament or even requesting a meeting with your Member of Parliament. If you have an opposite, we don't think that the Conservative members of Parliament are likely to change their minds, but if you have a Liberal member of Parliament, those are the ones where we think have to be targeted the most, because the Bloc and the NDP seem to be pretty solid in opposing it. So now would be the time to meet with your MP or write to them or write to another Liberal MP say that this bill should be defeated at second reading. And, you know, there's resources on the Canadian Council for Refugees website which kind of repeat a lot of the things that I've just pointed out very quickly now, repeat them in a lot more detail that can be included in such a letter.
And that was Rick Goldman. He's with the Canadian Council for Refugees. He was speaking with Red Eye Collective member Peter Driftmeyer. And as he mentioned, Rick Coleman, Goldman, if you'd like more information on the new proposed refugee bill by the Conservative government, Bill C-49, or more information on the work of the Canadian Council for Refugees, you can visit their website, which is ccrweb.ca.